This is CliffCentral.com.
Yes, it's live. It's Tuesday. It's alive! Isn't that what they say in every monster movie that was ever invented? It's alive!
Every Frankenstein. Yeah. Which makes you think that the expectation of him working was never high.
Oh.
A surprise. It's like, it's alive. Well, that was the intention, was it not?
I never found myself saying every Frankincense movie. Never mind.
That's Frankenstein. That's Jesus. That was one of his gifts. He didn't use it, but he was appreciative.
And in some ways, it's also a monster movie because he, you know, also was raised from the dead like Frankenstein.
It's alive.
Similarities.
In fact, that's what St. Matthew said when he walked in. He went, "It's alive!"
Is that in Paul chapter 8, verse 2?
Yeah.
It's alive.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Oh, I'm so proud of myself. I got the coffee machine working this morning.
Oh, nice, Gareth.
I know.
You know, I'm not one of those coffee people, but yesterday there was no coffee, and I just felt like I was missing
something.
You felt dumb. I felt like I was missing something.
You guys did know that there was still hot chocolate, right?
Oh.
Yeah, because that's the same things, yeah?
Oh, sorry. Okay, I'm just trying to find a silver lining for you guys here.
I got it working. I went and bought beans. I bought everything because we have a coffee machine here, and it's usually stocked up and supplied, and we never have to think about it. But it's usually quite difficult to work. Like, it's hard to get to work right. If you don't know what you're doing without Jane or, like, Celeste, I don't know what to do with a coffee machine. So this morning I figured it out, and I thought I'd won the Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah.
Man, I was proud of myself. Mm.
But you know, coffee machines are designed to be awkward to stimulate office conversation.
Because
we have nothing to say around here if we just press the button.
Oh, please. Around here? So people here? Are you kidding?
So what coffee machines do is that they suss out the vibe in the office. And if there's minimal talking, then it just breaks. And then everyone's like, what to do with the coffee machine? And then everyone just talks and socializes.
Oh, yeah. For now, that definitely sounds like us. Yeah. Not much talking going on. We don't have anything to say.
Yeah, it might be true for a lot of places, not here.
Things aren't not crazy here. Or awkward enough. Yep, just another day at our office.
You guys flatter yourselves. The conversation here isn't always of the highest echelon. I mean, yesterday, Jane, Queen Jane.
Yes.
She lost it yesterday.
About what?
So she's got this new role. Oh, I imagine it's a new role in that she's now trying to recycle the caps of our water bottles.
Oh, okay.
But she doesn't tell anybody.
She just comes around and grabs
people while they're still drinking out of their bottles. She grabs the tops and Sia's having a high-level work conversation with Greg. And then she just starts talking and Sia's like, "Just a second, Jane, I'm having a conversation." And she's like, "Oh, fuck, man." And then she just walks away in a huff. And I know exactly what she was trying to say. She was telling people to give her the water bottle caps. And she was so outraged that everyone just didn't stop right there and listen to her.
Jane, if she was in charge of the place, if she was the manager.
Well, she thinks she is, Gareth. So.
I know, but if she was, actually, she'd be one of those toxic bosses. You know those ones that people resign rather than work for? And they would rather leave the office, they get more done at home. Those kind of people, the people who, when they come into the office and they see her, they go,
yeah, things would happen that way.
She's very interesting to have around. She's great with our guests. She's a really good hostess, you know. She makes sure everybody's looked after and all that kind of thing. But man, if you get on the wrong side of her,
yes, you are a lot to handle.
You are finished. Finished.
It's anyway. Too much to deal with her sometimes.
We've got a lot to talk about today. There's a lot going on. We've got Robin popping by from Lifestyle Home Garden. I know that you don't want to think about this, but Christmas is just around the corner, and she's going to tell us all about Christmas and all about what kinds of Christmas trees they have, what kinds of decorations they have. I mean, you've got to think about this stuff. And for a lot of people, it's a pain. You think about it, and you go, oh, do I have to do this stuff? Of course, you get into the spirit eventually, but at this time of the year, you don't want to think about it, and it's a nightmare, and blah, blah, blah. Well, she's got the trees, the decorations, everything. You could get in there, and you can get everything at once. Wouldn't that be nice?
Mm. Yeah.
Less to think about.
Oh, it's that time of the year already. November in a couple of days.
I love this time of year. I love, 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 love it. Yeah, tomorrow is proper Halloween, the 31st, right?
Not what everyone else was doing over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's November. Before you know it, it's the end of the year. I've got a bunch of weddings this holiday season. I've got two big weddings that I'm going to. One is a girlfriend of mine. I always thought we would get married.
Okay. Oh.
No, I don't mean in a bad way. I mean, she was my you know, if we both ended up like sad and alone, and only one of us has. Then I would have married her out of pity, and she would have married me out of pity, which is never a good reason to get married.
Well, two pities do make a right.
So she found this really cool boyfriend last year, or the year before last. I think they've been together like 2.5 years. Anyway, she's getting married. She's asked me to MC her wedding.
Oh, burn!
No, I don't mind at all. You know, I'm totally okay with that, and it's one of the functions that I've been kind of deployed for over and over again by friends. I don't mind doing it at all. Try to make it fun. Try to make people laugh a little bit. Try to, especially after a bad best man speech, you need a good MC. Mm. Yeah, pick up the pieces.
And the best man speech are quite bad, because generally what happens is they get nervous and then they drink. Mm. And then once they're drunk,
they just talk shit.
Yeah.
Anyway, so she's getting married sometime in November, which is...
You guys broke up exciting. Ages ago, right?
No, we never even really dated. We were just...
Oh.
Yeah, we were sort of, I don't know, we just clicked. It was a really, really solid friendship, and it kind of spilled over into something more, and then it didn't anymore. But it was fine. It was great while it lasted. You know, I don't hold regrets. I don't keep a lot of room in my life for regrets.
Well, because, you know, I love these useless studies that are done mm-hmm. by professors around the world. There's a latest one that says... people who stay friends with their exes might be psychopaths.
Yeah. Oh, shit. All right, well, you got to watch that. I'm friends with most of my exes.
Yeah, but we've established a long time ago
that another one. I saw another one the other day.
He's collecting them.
No. She was very happy to see me. I was happy to see her. We had a lot of fun. We just talked nonsense and laughed a lot.
This is not me. I'm not making
it. I think that's a terrible study. What study is that? If you aren't friends with... Listen, if you liked the person when you started dating, or you started becoming friends, you started get to know each other, you can't suddenly tell me that you turn 180 degrees and start hating them just because you're not romantically involved anymore. That would indicate to me that that's psychopathic. You don't
okay.
ignore that person like they never existed. That seems very unhealthy.
Gareth, that's bullshit and you know it. You've just never been in love, so you wouldn't know that people go to extremes through emotions. So they don't know how to act around people because things
wow.
have changed.
Wow, Dr. Ben.
Yeah, but it's true, though.
Tell me more.
I mean, if you talk to people who've been in a range of relationships, obviously you didn't give a toss about these girls.
So no, of course
why,
I did.
That's why emotionally you're like, okay, bye, ciao, sayonara.
That's nonsense.
But it is, though. Because if you really cared.
Of course I cared.
Then you would need separation. And you would need, it would be awkwardness because things are going to be, look, a lot of people get in relationships and they're very emotional. And they're roller coasters for a lot of people. And they don't quite understand it, especially at a young age. Therefore, you can't be friends because then you're going to bang again or something's going to get weird or someone's going to feel insecure.
Well, I have sometimes. Who hasn't gone back? Who hasn't...
Gareth, of course, I'm speaking as a general population here.
Now, I'm willing to take your criticism about my lack of emotional depth, right?
But you also have to hear him out.
Which, again, isn't a mystery. But the thing is, he's talking about him. I'm talking about a group
study. I don't think I'm the only
one. Humanity.
I don't think I'm the only one. I think there are a lot of people who can be friends with exes.
Because they were never that into them.
I've heard people say, regardless, they care about the person and they care enough to see them do well and they're fine. Yeah. And, you know, they didn't have a messy ending and they just separated and moved their own ways.
And I wish people the best like that.
But there's always a but, Ben.
No, look, obviously, with time, you move on another person.
You don't immediately just go from like being lovers to being friends. That would be very weird.
This is what
it needs a gap. There needs to be a space of a couple of months, maybe even years, and then eventually you get around to the point. Like if I bump into any of my exes, I'm fine with it.
This is what I've always wanted to know for people like
you. Usually happy to see each other.
How long does it take
people like
to
you
get to this point? Really? No, because I'm the person I want to.
People like you.
I want to crap in my ex's shoes. Exactly. I want to shank like their shank neck. I want to key Jesus, their car. Yeah. That's just the circle of my life. But like, how long did it take for you?
This is the emotion I'm telling you about.
No, it's the unhealthy emotion.
If you you get relationships where people lay everything on the line, okay, like everything,
yeah,
and it's like everything, and the thought of not being with that person, renders some people completely useless.
And but then like, worse, I see them happy. Oh,
guys, why do you think you get crimes of passion? That phrase, which is quite a big deal in this country, why do you think you get that? Because people can't fathom how they can be without someone.
Guys, and if things end badly, like he's worried.
And if things end badly, okay, then it's not like, hey.
No, it's true. But I do think that that's a kind of, it's a weakness. Like, I do believe that we've got to try and aim for more. We've got to try to be better. If you reserve a special place in your heart that's filled with hatred for people, you are wasting a lot of positive and useful energy. You're
100% right, Gareth.
You're obsessing. And I'm not saying that in some way, it is emotionally inferior for people to behave like that. I totally get that people fall head over heels in love, and then the disappointment and the pain of that not working out can ruin them. And for a while, they are half a person, right? It hits them that hard. Mm. I get that. But I think we should try to be better. We should try to... It didn't work. You had a great time together. You were maybe together for a couple of months, maybe a couple of years.
Yeah.
Sure, and you had a terrific time. You don't... I know people who have gone onto their Instagram and deleted all the pictures of them with their ex, which is ridiculous.
Yep, but it happens.
Oh, no. Makes sense to me.
You get it?
Yeah.
Okay, you understand that.
Why do I...
You're deleting parts of your life like they never existed. That's crazy. That is psychopathic.
Why do I still need to be reminded of
Don't go and... Why are you going trawling through your old... Instagrams.
Yeah. Oh,
move forward.
On a Friday night with a bottle of wine and
No wonder you want to shag people in the neck. This is what you do in your spare time, is go through old Instagram pictures.
Yeah, this is a fascinating topic.
Listen, you can't delete your life. You can't go back and cleanse and sanitize parts of your life. If they didn't work out at the end, that doesn't mean they weren't working during. Think about this. Every ex you've had good experiences. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you wouldn't have stayed with them. Even if it was for the short time you were together, you went on holidays together, you laughed, you listened to music together, you partied, you had sex, you had a great time, right?
Then you cried and you fought.
Yes, but why focus on that stuff? So it didn't last forever. Guess what? I've got bad news for you. Nothing lasts forever. So enjoy everything in the moment. This is what drives me crazy in almost every person I see and in my own relationships. Worrying about tomorrow. Get into today. Mm. Enjoy what you've got right now. Mm. There is no happier moment than right fucking now. Get into this moment. Stop worrying about next week Thursday or in 2 years' time or getting married or moving in together or moving out together or whatever else it is. Just enjoy now. If people did that, if you just were happy and satisfied with the miracle that you're alive, that of all the tiny little sperm, you were the one that made it into the egg, and that you two found each other, and that you're sharing this little bit of time together, and be grateful about that. And then when it doesn't work anymore, be grateful for the good memories. Forget about the bad ones. No one's going to care except you and her, or you and him, or whoever. And then you move on. There's someone new, or there's something new. I mean, life is so fantastic.
It really is. And your robot emotions are as well. I mean, it's incredible how you can suss this all up. It's a textbook of how to live.
I'm sorry.
It really is.
Are you being sarcastic?
No, I'm being dead serious. Is that no one has the capacity to live like that because everyone's worried about something, but you don't have that because it wasn't programmed into your model.
I've just got messed up brain chemistry.
No,
all right?
I accept it's good in some sense.
Look, I'll be big enough to admit if we could somehow find a middle ground between how you feel and how Ben and I feel, I think that would be the perfect human.
I disagree. I think we should all strive to be as clinical as Gareth.
It's not clinical.
Ben, no, I don't want to do that.
I get emotional very rarely, but I do.
Gareth, your emotions are like German engineered with a scalpel-like edge.
No, that's not fair. That's not fair.
Don't want to.
I cry mostly in movies and in music.
Yeah, but that's fine because you appreciate art.
But to be you appreciate at the performance. Your ex's wedding. Ooh, I sure think of.
I was the MC at a private my high school sweetheart's wedding. I loved it. I had a great evening.
I would rather use a cactus as a toothbrush.
Jesus, yeah.
Oh, could not think of anything worse. So, not to sound dramatic, this study earlier...
You've got to stop starting sentences with that because it's already happening.
Not to sound dramatic.
It's already happening.
So, yeah, anything that comes out of your mouth is likelier to be dramatic than not.
The study that said that people who stay friends with their exes might be psychopaths.
Yeah.
Just to finish that off, it was done at Oakland University and they tested a bunch of different people. They had to answer questions around their relationships, etc., etc. And then they also had to answer questions around their personality. Mm-hmm. Now, the scientists then were able to find out that those people who were friends with their exes had a lot of narcissistic and psychopathic qualities. Now, this doesn't mean you're about to go out and murder someone tomorrow, but it just means that you have traits of lacking of empathy and selfishness. And then they said that a lot of people would keep the likes of their exes around in their lives purely out of self-motivation, thinking that they'll probably use them one day, they might need information from them one day, they might need money from them one day, they might need sex from them one day.
That's terrible.
They might need sex from them one day.
That's what the science is.
You're my standby for sex one day.
So people like that keep other people around, which is a form of narcissism, which is a form of psychopathy.
Maybe then I should be more clear. I don't keep the exes in my life. I don't constantly phone them or check up on them or invite them to things. But if I do encounter them, we're on good terms. And on the occasions where I have bumped into exes, it's always been fun. Like, we've always, like, laughed about stuff. And so I don't know whether maybe I've lucked out and not chosen crazy people in my life. Or maybe I'm not crazy, or maybe I am. I don't know what the magic formula here is. No regrets. Best way to live. Michelle says, Gareth, that makes me and my exes psychopaths. I'm friends with all of mine too. So you see, it's not just me. Crypto Tryhard says, I can't stay friends with my ex. All I can think of is how hard we banged.
Yeah. It's difficult to be, I think, normal after that.
I'd like to hear from someone who had a messy ending and is still then friends with an ex.
That's harder.
Yeah, I think it's a lot harder. You know, if it just fizzles out.
What if one of you's caught cheating? Or,
that'd be the worst.
That's got to be tough. I don't know if I could. Okay, so that's probably an area that I don't know that I could entirely cover over the cracks and carry on and be friends. Mm. Brendan says, morning, guys. Something bothering me. After the 18th of September, us weed smokers celebrated the Zondo Concord ruling to legalize the private use of cannabis. Needless to say, I started using on the 18th, and yesterday they came in and did drug tests on everyone. Uh-oh. Seems us weed smokers are in trouble for testing positive, so actually weed is only legal to the unemployed. I feel they can't dictate our private lives. Saying we can't smoke in our own time is discriminating. Why aren't they telling drinkers not to drink in their private time? It's the same thing, man. Fucks me off. Wow.
Interesting thing there.
Yeah, Brendan. You must work in a fairly serious profession. I mean, I'm not saying that there aren't, you know, important and serious things that have to happen in other professions, but whatever it is you do, maybe you're an engineer and you design buildings. Maybe you're the guy who, you know, you're an architect or a lawyer, or you might be responsible for safety in you know, the workplace. There might be all kinds of reasons why they have to test you for this, and even a little bit of weed could make you less focused on your job. I don't know, but it must be something in your employment rules, because not all companies test for weed. Not all companies would even think about testing for weed. I don't know whether, I mean, if we did one around here, I think Nola would probably fail.
I think I'm finally fine.
Ben would be all right after. Listen, after that attempt we had, I'm never touching this stuff again. I said it was horrible.
No, ever.
Sia would probably test totally squeaky clean.
Yeah.
But who knows? Yeah, I don't know who else here is a weed smoker, and it's none of my business. If they do a bit of weed over the weekend, or you do whatever you do, I've said it before, I'm a libertarian, so you do whatever it is that makes you happy. as long as you can perform in your job. And if part of your job performance is that you can't be a pot smoker, then they'll test you, which is what's happened to you.
Yeah.
You got to find out what the rules of employment are there.
Like, I wouldn't like to go for surgery and find out my surgeon.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, you see?
But I think on the point with drinking is that that goes out of your system, I take it, much faster than the marijuana. So if you're drinking at home, you can be at work sober as a test and therefore able to function. So again, you're right. It's a professional thing. Look at your contract.
Yeah.
If you're not allowed to do it, then that's your job. Maybe you get a different job or...
Sia, I'm the one that was cheated on by my husband.
No, no.
Our divorce was the hardest thing ever, but I'm better for it. Yes, we are friends. I get on very well with his girlfriend and the kid, too. No regrets, Michelle.
Jeez. Oh, no. Oh, no, 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 no.
You wouldn't be able to
do
that.
Wait. Husband cheated on her.
Mm-hmm.
She's still friends with the husband and the new wife.
Mm-hmm.
Michelle, I would basically die if you told me that the wife is now the woman the husband cheated on as well. Because that would be a double whammy. Oh, oh no.
Mm-mm. Yeah, guessing it is.
Girl, just give me their ID numbers, latitude and longitude. I'll take care of the rest.
Yeah, then you're going to get the dusty street seer coming out.
You'll be fine. I'll sort it out for you.
Look, I think you just got to let certain stuff go. It's not worth holding on to things.
You're so right. It's like having a poo. You just let it go.
Let it go.
Let it go.
Let it go.
Sometimes we are far too precious about stuff in life. We've got to be more like Gareth and just let it go.
There's no reason.
Give it a flush.
Harboring that grudge, it makes you feel like you're living in a soap opera or something. I don't know what most people's motivation is. Let it go, like Ben says.
Unless you like flush the drama.
Unless you
like the drama. There's also that.
No. There's that. There are a lot of people who like that, huh? Yeah. Gives them meaning.
I don't know. Should we just come to the conclusion to each his own?
In about a minute's time before we get to the news, let's talk for another minute and then say that.
Okay. Look at you checking out the show clock.
What a pro.
No, you consummate what professional.
So why is Cardi B trending? What's she done?
Oh, no, I don't know. What I love the most now is just to stay away from social media when I don't have to. I only found out about, for example...
Gareth, judging by the headlines that Cardi B has... Oh, so Cardi B's sister accuses Nicki Minaj of leaking her phone number.
Oh, shit. Someone's got Cardi's number?
Yeah. So Cardi B's phone number's out there.
Well, talk about...
Well, that's just inconvenient.
People and drama for no reason.
That's hugely inconvenient.
Is this the sister... Oh, what's her sister's name? I think her sister's name is Heineken.
Cardi C?
Cardi C.
Because Cardi B is named after Bacardi.
Yes.
And her sister... No,
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
her mother must have been a serious drinker.
I think her sister's Hennessy.
Just look it up.
Yeah.
Cardi B's. Now I need to know.
Cardi B's feud with Nicki Minaj. Of course, they do have the beef, these two.
Yes, yes, yes. Big beef.
Ah, yes, it is Hennessy.
Hennessy.
I was right.
Hennessy Carolina.
That's so good. What a classy family.
Hennessy Carolina.
That's great.
One is Bacardi, the other's...
Awesome. But what's her full name? Because it's also, she's got like a really complicated name.
Cardi's real name.
Mm.
Well, isn't she from like Puerto Rico?
She's
or?
From the Bronx.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, I can't.
Say it. Can you just
try Belgales.
There we go.
Almanzar.
There we go.
Which is shortened to Bacardi.
That's right. Okay, lots of news. Let's get into it.
Each their own, has, yeah?
Five things you need to know this morning. SASSA is investigating a scam targeting unemployed Gauteng beneficiaries. This SASSA, you know, it really is... I'm very concerned about this. No one seems to be as perturbed about the long-term implications of having a state security social security agency. Because the problem here, the danger here, is that we are... adding more and more people to this. These are people who take money out of the fiscus. They get given basically a stipend by the government for existing. You just get paid money because you exist as a human being. Someone, I hate to sound crass about it, but someone screwed you into existence, and now you are someone else's financial burden. It does not make sense. There is no world in which this can carry on working. It's fine if you're a child, and your parents made you, because your parents have to, you're a burden to them. You're also sometimes a blessing, but let's say a burden financially, because there's no financial blessing for a child. A child doesn't bring income. They just suck out expenses. Well, that's what they do. And
unless it was Michael Jackson, but that's the only case, Gareth.
I am concerned that we have 17 million and growing, a number that is exponentially increasing, people who are not able to, for various reasons. We have an economy that's not growing. We have unemployment because it's very difficult to start businesses in South Africa. It's very hard to hire and fire people. Blah, blah, blah. There are a number of reasons. Very good, very sensible economic reasons why there are so many people who are unemployed in South Africa. But there are also tons of new babies being made every day. And sometimes these babies belong to mothers and very seldom, but occasionally fathers, who have no means of raising them to become adults of promise. Now, I'm not saying that every poor person in South Africa has no promise, but it is a whole lot harder to raise a child that is going to make a contribution to society if you have no resources. That's why a lot of people choose not to have kids, because they realize they can't afford to have kids. It's a very, very expensive business having children, and not even the free SASSA grant is going to be enough to keep your child, I mean, anything more than just barely alive. That's the ugly reality of it. Meanwhile, taxpayers are funding these 17 million people. We can't afford this. We're not a country that has excess wealth. There isn't enough money. If you took all the money, including every super rich South African, the billionaires, the likes of the Oppenheimers and Patrice Motsepe and all of those people, and you threw all of their money into the pot, you still wouldn't have enough to give everybody to be able to live a certain kind of lifestyle. There just isn't enough. We're a small, developing country. But someone is not doing the maths. And, you know, we're going to borrow money here, we're going to borrow money there, we're running at a deficit already. Cyril's going around asking for investments. Meanwhile, SASSA is paying out this 17 million people every time on a social grant. Every month, by the way.
Well, it's like Cyril's trying to drum up this trade thing, right? So he's there with the bucket and the boat pushing the water up, but there's a massive hole and people are admiring the hole.
Yeah.
Well, so it's, you're trying to grow the economy, but yet you've got this lead weight.
Well, this is it.
And there's no empowerment. People keep crapping on about empowerment. This isn't empowering. This is keeping people at a level.
Well, it's also keeping them in slavery. And that's completely. That's part of the problem is that people are now dependent on the government. And that is the very worst situation. Yeah. If you want to know what it's like to not be free, be dependent on the government. So my sympathies go to the 17 million people who are on social grants in South Africa, because obviously they find themselves in chains because they owe the government for their living. And by the government, I mean the taxpayer, but of course people don't see it that way. They see the government as being this bottomless pit of money, which clearly they're not. Our government's about to learn that lesson in a hard way.
Well, they're a bottomless pit, but there's no money.
So SASSA are investigating a scam, because it's bad enough we have these people who are just taking from the system, but now we have people who are also pretending to exist so that they can get, and they're creating false identities and they're claiming that are unemployed and blah, 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 so they can get free money. According to the agency, the scam claims that recipients of all ages will be given a 2,200 Rand voucher if they register on a bogus website with their ID numbers and proof of address if they're jobless. We're still looking into it, says Nandi Mosia. Into an investigation underway. SASSA working closely with the South African Police Services and the National Credit Regulator to get to the bottom of this. SASSA has encouraged people to visit their offices if they have been duped. Aye, so, you know, take advantage of poor people even more. This Pittsburgh synagogue massacre, we didn't really talk about it yesterday, but it's the ugliest and the worst anti-Semitic attack on American soil in history. People were attending a bris, and that's the circumcision of an 8-year-old boy at a synagogue in Pittsburgh, and this white supremacist bust in and said, "I'm going to murder all the Jews," Jeez. And he killed 11 people. I mean, it's so ugly, it's so revolting, it's just appalling. And President Donald Trump has blamed the media for pre-election anger as the nation mourned the loss of 11 lives in this weekend's shooting of a Pittsburgh synagogue. The suspect made his first court appearance in a wheelchair. Trump lashed out at critical journalists, blaming them for extremism ahead of next week's midterm elections. I find it so distasteful that Donald Trump blames the media and that the media blame Donald Trump. And actually, neither of them are really to blame for a nutcase who harbors anti-Semitic feelings. Neither of them. It is not the media's fault. It is not Donald Trump's fault. Certainly, Donald Trump and the media must bear some responsibility for making it worse and for creating a climate in which these kind of nut jobs find a reason to do the things that they're going to do. You know, Bernie Sanders, a couple of years ago in 2016 during the election run-up, Bernie Sanders said, "These Republicans, they are going to kill us with the abandoned Obamacare." Right? And then some crazy nutcase got a gun and went and shot at Congress people at the congressional baseball game. And nobody said it was Bernie's fault, because it isn't Bernie's fault. And you shouldn't say this is Trump's fault. Trump is not going on Twitter or on television saying, "I want you to bomb Democrats," or "I want you to shoot people in a synagogue." Of course he's not. And to blame him is puerile. He is, however, responsible for ratcheting up the temperature, as are the media. I mean, there isn't a day that goes by that CNN aren't saying Trump is the devil and we're going straight to hell. Do you think that's not going to make nutcases a little bit more nutcasey? Of course it is. So just be a little bit aware of that. I mean, when you hear all this Trump saying this about the media and the media saying this about Trump, they're equally to blame for the tension and the divisiveness in American society, but they are not specifically to blame for these acts of violence. And if you blame them, you don't understand that people have the right to be fractious, to say things that are politically divisive, but that's not the same as saying to people, "Go out and kill." You have to be directly responsible. If you know, for example, if Donald Trump said, "I want you to go out and punch journalists in the face," different story. If someone went and punched a journalist, you could trace that directly back to Donald Trump. He certainly didn't say go and kill Jews, and he certainly didn't say pipe bomb Nancy Pelosi, you know, Maxine Waters.
Just on, you know, we live in a world of phrasing. This white supremacist thing sounds a bit odd. When you don't get Islamic supremacists, because essentially terrorists are terrorists. They believe that they're superior, right? Because it's like, you're not part of Islam, we want to kill you, ISIS.
Yeah.
But they were never called ISIS supremacists, or this whole white supremacist. Like, they're not superior to anybody. They're still terrorists.
Yeah, well, they should just say terrorists. Just
terrorists.
I agree with you. But you see, it gives great glee to people who are a lot less noisy about Islamic anti-Semitic attacks, and there are a lot more of those. It gives them great glee to say, "Oh, well, look, you see, it's white supremacists."
Yeah.
Because it's just different. That's all. Trump has sent 5,200 troops to Mexico, or rather the border with Mexico, as the caravan advances. You know, there's this caravan of thousands of people who are moving towards the American border.
Like a Mexican Trojan horse.
Yeah, except this isn't even hidden. And they're originally from mostly Honduras and Guatemala. They're making their way north towards the American border. I don't know what people think when they do something like this, whether they think, "Oh, well, you know, just because there are a lot of us, they'll open the borders and just let us in." I also don't know whether people who are anti this imagine that it's going to end well for them when you have pictures of women and children on the front lines being, you know, stared down by military people with guns. It just looks bad. There's no win here. I don't know how these people imagine that this is a way to behave. If you want to get into a country, there are asylum procedures. There are ways to do this. Just seems that nobody in this caravan has thought about those things. They're just going to arrive en masse, and Trump's just going to open the gates.
Well, there is a solution, Gareth. Everyone who's so anti-Trump can go away to the border and literally take in a refugee.
Adopt them each,
yeah. So like, screw you, Trump. This is now my responsibility.
Mm. But then still have to go through the legal processes, I'm afraid. Yes, so adopt them. If you want to adopt a 45-year-old, then you go ahead and do that. You can do that at the Mexican border. Yeah. Eskom has been told to comply with environmental regulations or close down stations. Greenpeace says the biggest contributor to pollution in Mpumalanga is Eskom. They have a dozen coal-fired power stations, and they are creating more pollution than anyone else.
Even more than Secunda.
Mm-hmm. The power utility has been accused of failing to comply with air quality legislation and says it does not have the money to develop technology to reduce the emissions. They need at least $70 billion to do this, say Eskom. Of course, just more money.
Always need billions to do Eskom.
Weren't you meant to build these plants with a certain level of environmental protection built into them? Isn't that what's meant to happen, Eskom?
Well, probably not, because if you look at the Industrial Revolution in first world countries back in the day, they were polluting all they wanted to, but no one was telling them not to. So they got to build on the back of coal fires and smog and pollution and children with three eyes. But now, because it's 2018 and we're behind the grade, no, we probably just built them just to get do what they did many years ago.
Yeah, I suppose you're right, but I don't think that that's a very sensible way to go. I mean, people in Mpumalanga want to be able to breathe the air. You want to be able to drink the water. I know in places like Middelburg and what's the other one out there? Witbank. You can't drink the water. You cannot drink the tap water. It comes out and it's got heavy metals in it. It's very, very dangerous. Can you imagine, for people who can't afford bottled water or can't afford filters on their taps?
What are you to do?
They're going
to
be raising kids with three heads and 16 eyes.
And the poor animals. What are they drinking?
Oh, my God. I don't even want to think about that. Anyway, the ANC finally have remained mum on the saga surrounding Malusi Gigaba following the leaking of a sexually explicit video. The party spokesperson Phule Mabe refused to immediately answer questions regarding the matter when contacted by independent media on Monday. I don't know why. What do the media want the ANC to say about this?
And also, what are they hiding? They say, yeah, that's his dick. We've all got one.
Yeah, what are you meant to say?
Is that what they should put in an official statement?
Exactly. Just go, what do you guys want from us? The guy put his cock on camera. What more do you want from us?
Right. I mean, you've got the cock. You've got the video. Be happy with that. That should keep you idiots going for long enough. Exactly. Independent media. I mean, here they are calling him up. What do they expect him to say? Well, we thought it was a 5-star video. We rated it on Pornhub and we really enjoyed it. What would you like him to say?
Well, Lucy, will there be a second edition?
You see, they're going to go into this. It's all salacious. And I wish the independent media would stop independent media in inverted commas. I wish they would stop pretending that they are actually good people. Mm. Stop virtue signaling that they care about the South African public. First of all, this is an interest to the public issue, but it's not of public interest. In other words, it has no effect on policy. It might be a personality indictment for Malusi Gigaba, but that's up to the individual to decide. The media, that you're just talking about this because you think it's going to get you clicks and you think it's going to get you ratings. That's all. Be honest about that. Stop lying to people. You're interested because there's a penis and there's a minister and it's all very salacious. And I can see the dribble from the side of your mouth as you try to find out more and get to the bottom of the story. If only you could, in a similar way, chase after allegations of corruption, problems in small-town South Africa, municipalities that are rotten. But, of course, those things don't get you ratings. So now you need a comment from Phule Mabe. Poor Phule Mabe is probably at this... He's hiding under his bed. He's like, all I want is to not have my own sex video out there. That's all he's thinking. So there it is. All right, those are the stories you need to know today. Let's turn our attention to Ben. By the way, Bitcoin is trading at $6,323 and Ethereum's dropped to $196. At this point, I really wish I hadn't bought any cryptocurrency, but then that's probably not just me. And maybe you're just going to keep holding. Who knows? Over to you, Ben. What's in the sport?
Well, as expected, Real Madrid have given their coach the arse, and WWE looks to be targeting Serena Williams.
Oh.
After 139 days as the Real Madrid coach, Julien Lopetegui is gone. Well, exactly. Now, we said after El Clasico he was going to be El Fiado, and there it is, straight out on his ass. So where do you go from here? Well, he could probably pick up a job with, like, Crystal Palace or Fulham or something. Just basically ask Sam Allardyce where to go from here, because he was the king of that. But it does kind of, Real Madrid, the season that you would say is gone because their standards are so high. They're currently 8th or something in La Liga. And in the Champions League, they're not exactly looking strong either. So where to go from here? Well, they're going to have like an interim coach. Some guy's going to become a stopgap. His name is Santiago Solari. He's the club's B-team coach. So he's kind of, I mean, he must be loving this. He has to sit in the big boy bus. And
sure.
He gets to hang out with the big players.
It's like an instant promotion.
But how much money are they going to try throw at Zinedine Zidane to come back? Now, Zidane obviously knew this. He's probably on a jet ski somewhere. And he just thought, well, I'm going to leave. I don't want to, but I can leave. I can basically take a year off, come back with more money than I could ever hope or expect. But maybe there's other people that they're going to pursue. Either way, it's Real Madrid. They have to basically... I mean, if they could sign Jesus, they probably would. Not yeah. Gabriel Jesus, but actual Jesus. Because they have to be high profile with everything that they do. So, Lopetegui, they're gone. Just absolutely gone.
I just want to congratulate him on his name.
Lopetegui.
Oh, I think I actually did alright with it, too. Mm. Yeah,
Great name.
I've done worse with pronunciation. In other firing news... This is quite interesting. The Cleveland Browns, of course, that is an American team, an American sport, so these things are obviously different. He's been crap for a long time, though. 36 losses, just 3
Who?
Wins. The Cleveland Browns coach, Hugh Jackson.
Okay.
But spelled H-U-E Jackson, okay? So he's been in charge for 3 seasons, all of 3 wins, 36 losses and a draw, and he finally got fired yesterday. Oh. So, Julien Lopetegui, maybe American sports are where you're at, because... I mean, they seem far more forgiving. You can just go there and be crap for ages and just keep it together. You crap at Real Madrid, jeepers, you get flushed quick. So just a word of advice there for Julian. All no doubt having a tough morning, so we can do what we can to pep him up. World Rugby have told a South African ref that he is, well, unfit. Just unfit.
Oh, right.
You know, to be a referee, obviously, you've got to have a hard and fast command of the rules. You've got to perform under pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And above all else, you should be able to run a bit. Now, Marius van der Westhuizen, name and shame, Marius van der Westhuizen has been dropped from World Rugby's list of officials because there's a problem with his fitness. Getting fit's not so hard. You just run a bit and you do a bit of exercise and make sure you do it every day and try to stay away from too many fatty carby foods. But Marius has fallen foul of that, and his career as a referee is in the balance as a result. There are only 3 South Africans who are actually on the highest level. Marius Jonker, he's a TMO. Otherwise, Rasta Rasivengi and Jaku Paper. They're the only guys that are blowing for the country in World Rugby right now. Speaking of World Rugby, of course, it's the big week for the Box. They are playing England. Now, they are in London. They're currently training. And we'll get to that close to the weekend, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But there's an exciting time for the Box. It really is, because playing in these tougher conditions, we're going to see a different side of the game that they need to reveal. They obviously played all right this year. They did very well in the Highveld against England. But the big game that kind of worries me, it wasn't the way that they choked the crap out of it against the All Blacks or the fact that they threw away a game against Australia in Australia. The big kind of black mark for the Box this year for me so far was how they lost to England in Cape Town. Now, it'll be similar conditions, obviously, with the heavier field and the wetter conditions in the Northern Hemisphere. But after being so dominant against Eddie Jones' men on the Highveld, they really did roll over and play dead in Newlands when the game became more tactical and slower. So this is a side of the Box they need to redevelop, because of course when it comes to the World Cup next year, I don't care what kind of conditions they'll be facing, the games will be much tougher, as far as you need more strategy than flash and dash. So that's something to look out for this upcoming series. Last night, there was a football match between Spurs and Man City. Spurs, no doubt, with all that confidence of playing at Wembley and believing they could maybe end Man City's unbeaten run.
Sure.
Well, it didn't. Mahrez scored in the 6th minute. And with that, Man City won 1-0. So still very much ahead of Man City. Still very much the best team in all of the England. And hoping to be in all of Europe this year. Maybe they can finally kick on and do something in the Champions League. WWE. Now, this story may sound like clickbait, and it may sound like a load of crap, but the reason I want to get into it is I have a broader meaning. So WWE are apparently looking to target Serena Williams as part of revamping or kind of constantly growing their women's division.
Oh, that's exciting.
Stephanie McMahon, she is the daughter of Vince McMahon, who, of course, is the
WWE boss.
Yeah.
Yes.
She thinks Serena is awesome. Just awesome.
Awesome.
And obviously we're looking at signings like they signed Ronda Rousey when she couldn't fight anymore in the MMA. And while she still had all her teeth, or the ones that were replaced, she thought she would go to WWE because no one's going to punch her, but it's all obviously one big staged event. So she's been a massive hit. And so Stephanie believes that, well, if we can get Serena with her fan base and her amazing presence, it'll be incredible.
Right. Except that Serena still has a tennis career.
Yes.
That's the thing she's missing out.
Well, she didn't say she wants her now, Gareth. She just said she wants her at some stage. It would be awesome for the WWE. But here's the way the story gets interesting. Women's sports, whether you like it or not, you misogynist bastards, is rising and rising and rising.
Oh, I don't know what that's. Some kind of warning on my computer. All right,
see,
carry
on. Talk about women's sport, people get angry.
Look at what happened.
How dare you, Ben? It's not rising. Chicks shouldn't play sport. They should just be chicks and stuff. No, women's sport is rising. I went to this Nielsen discussion last week, and it is in tennis. There's a variety of sports where women are coming more to the fore. Now, Banyana Banyana, the women's football team here in South Africa, is actually a bloody good team. They've got an incredible record, and all things considered, they're a much better project or prospect or just property than the Bafana team.
Huh.
You see the Women's World Cup, the T20 World Cup in the Caribbean right now, the women's Proteas team is there, and they're getting better and better, and they're getting more exposure, and they're becoming more of a property. Because this is how it is. It's the business of things. And the WWE just had the WWE Evolution event. Now, Sia, you know what was interesting about the WWE Evolution event?
Do tell.
Just women's. 22 women wrestlers. That was the entire thing. And it was a complete and utter sellout. It was a pay-per-view success. And it was just women wrestling. That's all it was. So WWE is not a sport. It's sports entertainment. There's a difference.
Mm-hmm.
But they are really campaigning for getting women out there and obviously doing more with the women fan bases and actually building them up. So here is a great case study in how the rest of the sports can kind of follow suit, because WWE have identified the fact there's massive growth in women's wrestling to obviously bulk up the other side of things. From, you know, WWE's got their fan base. It's mostly middle America, and they mostly have crooked eyes. But there are still people who love this thing as one big spectacle, and they're getting a more respectable sort of audience and more rounded audience by upping the whole women's division. So good on WWE. There's some learnings here to be had on all the other sports. And as you know, I always say, more people are playing sports, being involved in sport, the world is a better place. So that's pretty much all I've got for you on this Tuesday. But if you go onto the cliffcentral.com website and you go onto the Bounce Pod page, you'll see a recent interview I had there with Hockey SA's goalkeeper. 29 days until Hockey SA's men's team go over to India for the World Cup. And I chat to Rusty Peterson there. Also interview with Tarek Smit from Blind Cricket SA. Mm-hmm. Blind Cricket SA, also they're looking to kind of boost their sport and create awareness around and development around that as well. So that if you are partially sighted or whatever, there's still a sport that you can play, and it's called Blind Cricket, and it's fantastic.
All right, there's an interview.
On cliffcentral.com, so much for you on the sport.
Fantastic. Thank you, Ben. It's time for Sia. Let's hear what he has in set by Sia.
I have such a good update to give you guys this morning.
Go on.
Do you remember last week I spoke to you about Kat Slott, a mother who was driving with her...
Isn't it Stott?
Stott. Sorry.
That's a slip.
Okay. Kat Stott. Yes, thank you. Even you know this better than I do right now. The mother who is traveling on the N1 here in Johannesburg with her daughter, their car broke down on the highway in a panic, and all of a sudden there was this great Samaritan who stopped and was actually helping the two get to safety. Mm-hmm. Well, firstly, there's development as we find out more details about what actually happened on the N1. And also a great note to end the story off on. So firstly, we find out actually that this hero, his name is Godfrey, he was employed by a tow company and he had the right to reflective gear, hence why he actually also took the liberty to stop and help them out. He was able to park behind them. He was able to start directing traffic away from the lane as well. Mm-hmm. And also the daughter is quite young and was quite shaken by the entire ordeal, but Godfrey was able to help her in particular also get to safety with the mother. So this is all good and well. And I was reading about, last week, I was reading Kat's Facebook post around all of this. So from that one Facebook post, a lot of people started sharing this. They were commenting about how great Godfrey is and really how incredible this is. And they wanted to salute him in some way. And they actually, people in these comment sections and people who heard about this, all banded together and they collectively put together 20,000 rands for Godfrey just to thank him.
Very good.
And there was a handover to Godfrey recently. So nice. I think this This is so awesome.
See? Good leads to good.
This is really, really cool. Godfrey was just doing something out of the kindness of his own heart, but people have been able to recognize that and say, you know what, Godfrey, good on you. You're really incredible. And here's 20,000 rands that you were not even expecting. So I think that's a nice, cute update for Sit by Sia this morning.
Very good. All right, a couple of comments, and I'd like to direct these at Ben, Sia, and whoever else wants to answer them. All right, a couple of things. First things first, Brendan says, we work in an admin office. That's Brendan who was tested for weed.
Okay,
so, I mean, maybe you're missing a couple of details. I don't know. But you have to read your contract, Brendan, and your employer is allowed to do random drug tests. If that's in the conditions of employment. Lubabalo says, is there any other country in the world where we have a pension or grant other than SA? Yes, there are countries that have perhaps a lot of oil reserves, like Norway, where you have plenty of extra money in the fiscus. And there are countries that have tried this where they don't have money, like we are of the situation we're in. And usually what ends up happening is they end up borrowing and borrowing, borrowing, and they become a vassal state to some other state. But there are plenty of examples in history, and I'm not going to go through all of them now. But trust me, it's difficult. My family is Moss. My mom, dad, and stepmother go out sometimes. My stepsister married my stepbrother. Wow, this is a hell of a story. This is unbelievable. My mom, dad, and stepmother go out sometimes together. My stepsister married my stepbrother.
How does that work?
Yeah, I'm sure also I battle my with step the steps.
Sister.
Well, they must have totally different parents, right?
Brother.
I would imagine. Opposite ends of the family. So in other words, the mom had a child with a new man, and the dad had a child with a new woman, and they end up together. So they really aren't linked at all, except through their step siblings.
Yeah, okay, mom has a new surname. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Father will have the same surname. So the step, I don't know what the relationship is, though. They don't even share a surname. So,
no,
okay.
Totally don't. They don't even share any genes at all.
Do they meet at Christmas?
Oh, yes. At their wedding, 6 of the 8 at the main table, says Ian, were married to one another in first marriages. That's quite something. Sure. Wow. How's that, huh?
Okay.
Interesting stuff going on in Ian's family. Also, Lubabalo says, if you were in the Malusi situation, guys, what would you do? Would you resign or carry on working? Carry on. This is not an important thing. It's not going to make a damn difference. And I'm telling you, if anything, it'll gain him notoriety and make him more popular.
Yeah, I think it's like we said yesterday. He loves this kind of stuff. May I also just point out?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, if you're going to take a dick pic,
mm-hmm.
Do what Malusi did. Go from low, because it makes it look like you've got King Kong coming out of your pants.
Right, exactly.
But then the problem is your face is in it.
Well, obviously, sometimes you want your face in it. I still believe he wanted his face in it.
You do?
Well, he had something to say, remember? He said
he was delivering a line, see? Yeah? He was delivering a line.
Baby.
Now imagine this in your mouth.
If you're a generic dick pic sender, like you're just throwing it out there looking for a bite, don't put your face in. Right. But I mean,
I'm just always amazed, and every guy I've spoken to about this has the same story. Like, a girl's not going to send you a nude picture easily. Girl asks for a nude picture, guy's like, on it straight away.
Yeah,
sure, you want a dick pic? Here it is, honey.
You're already thinking of the filter.
Brendan says, Ben, did you see the news on Leicester City FC's owner dying in a chopper crash? We actually spoke about it yesterday, Brendan.
Yeah, sad, mm-hmm. Sheepers, that's sad.
Morning all, whatever happened to Gord, says Quentin.
We put him down. We did threaten as much, and it had to happen.
We took him to the vet, had him injected.
It wasn't one of the better days we've had, but...
We try not to talk about it, but there we are. That's all we've got for you on that front. And then if you missed our show last week with Alpha Code, that is up on cliffcentral.com. It's basically these guys are incubating some brilliant South African businesses. You can find out more. And by the way... We've also got today the Lifestyle Home and Garden final edition for the year, Christmas edition. I know it feels like it's way too soon for that, but you need to start planning for these things. So Robin's going to pop by and tell us all about that.
Is she bringing mince pies?
I don't know. Maybe she's bringing a Christmas tree for all you know.
Of course, she's bringing Miss Paz.
Don't start. Not yet. Not yet. Too soon? Way too soon. It's still October.
Two more weeks.
Middle of November, you can start.
Middle of November. Right. Yeah, I think even Boney M have that rule in their contract.
Hey, guys, we've been invited to the Boney M concert.
24th of December, folks.
Have you replied to them?
I'm considering going down to Durban over December, just staying here for Boney M.
We've got to say yes, right?
This is CliffCentral.com.